Good evening. It is 6 p.m. and I will call the Village of Pleasant Prairie Plant Commission to order. May we have roll call? Mine's working.
What's going on?
Hello?
Oh, I'm going to hold it down and that'll work. Okay. Mike Polakoff's excused. Michael Surfey's excused. Wayne Kessel.
Here.
Deb Scarter's excused. Jim Bandura.
Here.
Judy Giuliana's excused. Bill Stobig.
Here.
John Skalbeck is excused. Brock Williamson.
Here.
We have a quorum. Next item, consider approval for the November 12, 2018 Plant Commission meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Next item, correspondence. Jean?
I have none this evening.
All right, moving on. Citizens' comments. If you're here for an item not on the agenda, now's the time to speak up and take the microphone. Give us your name and address, and we will hear your comments. Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak? Hearing none, we will move on to new business. Jean, item A and B, can we take those together?
Yes.
All right.
You'll need to read both of them into the record.
We'll have separate motions, though, right?
Correct.
Gentlemen, what's your pleasure for items A and B combined? Separate motions?
Move we take them.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. So moved. Anybody say aye?
Aye.
Aye.
So moved. All right. Jean, public hearing and consideration of the zoning map amendment. Text amendment and final site and operation plans.
So, Mr. Bandura and members of the Plan Commission, item A is a public hearing in consideration of a zoning map and zoning text amendment, and this is at the request of John Huggett with the Bold Company on behalf of Aurora Healthcare, Inc., owner of the property located at 12500 Aurora Drive, related to the Aurora Healthcare Center, Pleasant Prairie Ambulatory Care Center and Medical Office Building. And this is to rezone the property into a PUD, Planned Unit Development Overlay District, with the underlying M5 Production Manufacturing District and the C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District areas to remain unchanged. In addition, to create the specific PUD district requirements for the development related to signage and landscaping of the open space. And then item B, consider the request of John Huggett of the Bold Company for the approval of the final site and operational plans, or stage 4, for the interior building plans, landscaping plans, exterior lighting plans, signage plans, and the digital security imaging system, or DSIS agreement, and DSIS access easement. And this is related to the Aurora Health Center, Pleasant Prairie Ambulatory Care Center, and the medical office building to be located at 12500 Aurora Drive. This property is located at the northwest corner of 104th Street and 120th Avenue within the Prairie Highlands Corporate Park.
The first item is a matter for public hearing. Anybody wishing to speak on item A?
Actually, I would like to make the presentation first, if that's okay.
Okay. Let's
All right, thank you. The petitioner has purchased approximately 64 acres of land located at 12500 Aurora Drive within the Prairie Highlands Corporate Park, and this is for the development of the construction of the Aurora Health Center, Pleasant Prairie Ambulatory Care Center, and Medical Office Building. The proposed $130 million development would include an approximate 100,000-square-foot ambulatory care center, a three-story, 100,000-square-foot professional office building, and associated surface parking and open space. The building is situated on the site to accommodate future expansion as the healthcare needs of the community evolve. The planning and design of the proposed facility would serve would preserve the site's woodlands and natural wetlands, providing care in a natural and healing environment. The proposed healthcare facility would offer new and expanded services in an ambulatory care center and a professional office building. The facility is intended to meet the growing healthcare needs of the residents of the village and the surrounding communities, ensuring access to high-quality, cost-effective care in a convenient location. Within the facility will be operating rooms, imaging rooms, rehabilitation equipment, prep recovery rooms, clinic exams, food service, a laboratory, pharmacy, and sterilization equipment. The equipment will support the previously identified departments and rooms. A generic listing of the equipment that will be in the facility will include, but are not limited to, CT, MRI, X-ray, bone densitometer, mammography, ultrasound, operating rooms, steam sterilizers, disinfector, crash cart, centrifuge stretchers, exam tables, kitchen hoods, grills, freezers, and refrigerators. A screened mechanical service area will be located on the building. It's estimated that this facility will provide for 260 full-time and 28 part-time employees working two shifts. This will include 140 new jobs, a total of 737 parking spaces, including 24 handicapped accessible spaces, are being provided with a separate entry, and there will be two dock service court areas are shown on the west side of the building. It's anticipated that the average daily automobile trips would be 2,565 per day, with an average of 4 daily truck trips per day. Access to the development will be from an internal roadway that connects a boulevard entrance to 120th Avenue, which is the west frontage road, and extends to a boulevard entrance at 128th Avenue. There'll be no direct driveway access to 104th Street, which is Highway Q. A total of 3 access points are proposed from and to 128th Avenue. Outlot 1 of CSM 2866, north of the property, will provide for regional basins for the Prairie Highlands Corporate Park and will also handle stormwater for Aurora and the southern end of the Corporate Park. The grading of the Aurora lot and the stormwater facilities within the outlot will be completed by Aurora pursuant to the development agreement, which specifies the obligations and other requirements of the village and Aurora, including the required public and private improvements for the Aurora development. All public roadway improvements and public utilities serving the Aurora site have been designed or are under construction. The public improvements are intended to be installed by the village and are anticipated to be completed by the late fall of 2019. The village is coordinating the electrical services needed for the Prairie Highlands Corporate Park, street lighting, and Aurora is coordinating their on-site gas and electric service needs directly with We Energies. As indicated, this is actually our stage 4 for this project, and so there have been several previous approvals that have been considered by the Village Plan Commission and the Board. On April 2, 2018, the Board conditionally approved a master conceptual plan for the care center and the medical office building on the property. On June 11, 2018, the Plan Commission conditionally approved the preliminary site and operational plan, Stage 1, for the mass grading of the site, and mass grading began after the Wisconsin NOI and the Wisconsin DNR Chapter 30 permit and the Wisconsin DOT permit were obtained and submitted, as discussed in their pre-con meeting that was held on June 27, 2018. And the erosion control permit was issued by the village on July 5, 2018. On June 18, the board approved the development agreement and related exhibits that were executed by the parties on June 21, 2018. Also on June 18, the board approved amendments to the village comprehensive plan, ordinance 18-25, and the zoning map, Ordinance 18-26, and this was to reflect the wetlands as delineated by R.A. Smith for the corporate park, including the land being developed by Aurora. The wetlands on the Aurora site are being preserved and protected during site development and following the development. On July 9, 2018, the Plan Commission conditionally approved preliminary site and operational plan Stage 2 for the approval of the final full civil plans, underground utilities, and footing and foundation plans. Early footing and foundation permit was issued by the village on August 14, 2018. And then October 22, 2018, the Plan Commission conditionally approved Again, a set of preliminary site and operational plans, stage 3, for the building shell. Subsequently, permits were issued for the building shell. So now we're at final stage, or stage 4. This is the final set of plans for the development and the final approval of the associated site and the building improvements, which includes the interior build-out plans, the final landscape plans, lighting plans, signage, and the DSIS agreement and access easement. In addition, the zoning map and text amendment is being considered as part of the PUD overlay, and that's specifically related to signage and landscaping on the site. The DSIS agreement and the access easement, the entire exterior of the building and the site are covered by a DSIS, which is a live view exterior camera view connection to the Village Police Department. The system shall be designed for external coverage for the entire site, including all building and parking lot entrances and exits, driveways and access locations on the site, and parking lots and access to the common open space areas. And this is pursuant to Chapter 410 of the Municipal Code, and it's in accordance with the attached DSIS agreement and the access easement being provided to the village by the owner. The system will be inspected by the village, approved and operational, and must be prior to their occupancy. The zoning map and text amendments. A PUD, Planned Unit Development Overlay, is proposed to be placed on the property with the underlying M5 Production and Manufacturing District and C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District areas remaining unchanged. In addition, a zoning text amendment is proposed to create the specific PUD district requirements. The attached PUD, and as you can see on the slide, includes some variations to the zoning ordinance. The first is to allow for 25% of the open space, excluding the wetlands and the woodland areas, to be allowed to be planted and maintained as prairie grasses and plants rather than a manicured lawn. Second, to allow for 3 primary monument signs and 2 secondary monument signs within the development. And finally, to allow for an increase from 600 to 800 square feet of total aggregate commercial advertising signs or wall signs for the 200,000 square foot building. The building shell construction, if you've gone by, has commenced recently this past November with the approval of stage 3, and the entire project is anticipated to be completed in the summer of 2020. So with that, I'd like to continue the public hearings. If anyone has any questions related to the project, we do have representatives here from Aurora and representing their consultants as well.
Would anybody wish to speak, especially from Aurora? Do a little bit of presentation. Give us a little more insight.
Yes.
Thank you.
So I'm Brian Eswine. I'm the construction manager for Advocate Aurora Healthcare. Thank you for your consideration tonight of the PUD, the 2 items that are on the table tonight for the, again, increase in signage, the, again, monument signage, and then the landscape. So the site for us is very, very attractive because it's a welcoming natural site. It's set deep in the lot to allow that experience from our customer base as they come to the site. Some of the additional requests that we have from the signage on the increased sign is to allow that visibility to our site, which also helps our wayfinding efforts because wayfinding in hospitals, as everybody knows, is kind of a little crazy at times. This is to help that visibility to our site, to welcome our customers in. At the same time, the landscape plan as it was laid out with the additional prairie grass allows for some extra pathways through the site for some summer activity for our not just customer base but our also employee base. So this is something that from the Advocate Aurora side, the model's changed. It's more towards the perspective of healing. It's a different elevation. It's more of a welcoming environment. What you see in front tonight for, again, for your consideration are a couple of variations to the ordinance to allow some additional interaction with their site for the healthy perspective that we're advocating for the community, as well as some general more enhanced visibility in our signage.
Just a quick question. The ground signs, directional signs, are they going to be internally illuminated?
So the monument signs are lit.
Okay.
So which are what you see, the large signs from the corners, all the blue. The drive signs are not internal to the Aurora Drive or not.
But there is lighting.
There is, there is lighting. There is, again, parking lot lighting to illuminate the whole parking lot and the drive as well as that internal drive.
So the directional signs will be visible at night?
Absolutely. Yeah, they are not internally lit. They are external from the different light poles on site.
Okay, good. Anybody else wishing to speak on the matter? Anybody else? This is a public hearing. Closing the public hearing, I'll leave it up to the commissioners for questions and answers. Commissioner?
I have none.
With that, Mr. Chairman, I would move that the Plan Commission send a favorable recommendation to the Village Board to approve the zoning map and text amendments subject to the comments and conditions of the village staff report of December 10th, 2018.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Anybody ready to say aye?
Aye.
Motion goes. Welcome.
Thank you.
Next item B, final site and operational plans. Jean?
I actually made one presentation, and so the Plan Commission can take action.
We can move approval.
Okay. Any motions?
Second.
We have a
second. Because I moved to approve.
Okay. Yeah. Everybody ready to say aye?
Aye.
So moved. We're all set on Aurora. Next item. Item C, public hearing and consideration of Plan Commission Resolution 18-26 for comprehensive plan amendments.
I would ask that items C and D be presented at the same time, one presentation and separate action on the two items.
Gentlemen, what's your pleasure? Yes? No?
Move to approve.
Second.
So moved. All in favor?
Aye.
Hi.
Item C, Jean, please proceed.
Commissioner Bandura and the other members of the commission, items C and D are related, and I'll be making one presentation, and we'll need separate actions on both items. Item C is a consideration of Plan Commission Resolution 18-26 for comprehensive plan amendments for the requests of Brian Johnson, Stephen Brown, and James and Michelle Parks, owners of the lots 15, 16, and 17 of the Countryside Estate Subdivision, respectfully to amend the 2035 Comprehensive Land Use Plan Map 9.9 to place the field delineated wetlands on lots 16 and 17 into the park, recreational, and other open space lands with interpolated wetland land use designations, and to place the non-wetland areas on lots 15, 16, and 17 within the low, medium density residential land use designation, and to update Appendix 10-3 of the Village of Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, 2035 Comprehensive Plan. And then item D is consideration of the zoning map amendments, also at the request of Brian Johnson, Stephen Brown, and James and Michelle Parks, owners of lots 15, 16, and 17 of the Countryside's Estate Subdivision, respectively, as a result of the wetland delineations being completed on the properties, specifically to rezone the field delineated wetlands on lots 16 and 17 into the C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District, and to rezone the non-wetland areas on lots 15, 16, and 17 into the R4 Urban Single Family Residential District. As I indicated, these items will be discussed at the same time, but separate actions are required. The petitioners are requesting approval of the amendments to the Village's comprehensive plan and zoning map to reflect the field-delineated wetlands on their properties known as lots 15, 16, and 17 of the Countryside Estate Subdivision, The subdivision is located just generally east of 32nd Avenue at 106 Place, and this is just west of the Kenosha County Bike Trail. Lot 15, on August 2, 2018, the Wisconsin DNR conducted a wetland delineation and found no wetlands as indicated in the Wisconsin DNR September 17, 2018 letter. Lot 16, on April 21, 2018, DK Environmental Services, Inc. completed a wetland delineation on the property that was approved by the Wisconsin DNR, as indicated in the Wisconsin DNR letter dated July 6, 2018. The location of the wetlands as shown on the attached surveys are located in the rear of the property. And finally, Lot 17, on August 30th and September 7th, 2018, Alice Thompson of Thompson and Associates Wetland Services, a Wisconsin DNR assured biologist, completed a wetland delineation. The location of the wetlands as shown on the attached survey are located in the rear of the property. As a result of these delineations, the Village 2035 Land Use Plan Map 9.9 is being amended to place the field delineated wetlands on lots 16 and 17 into the park, recreational, and other open space lands with interpolated wetland land use designations, and to place the non-wetland areas on lots 15, 16, and 17 into the low medium density residential land use designation. In addition, Appendix 10-3 of the 2035 Comprehensive Plan is being updated to include these amendments. The land use plan map and the zoning map are required to be consistent. Therefore, the field delineated wetland areas on lots 16 and 17 are proposed to be rezoned into the C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District, and non-wetland areas on the lots 15, 16, and 17 would be rezoned into the R4 Urban Single Family Residential District. With that, I'd like to continue the public hearing regarding these petitions.
This is a matter for public hearing. Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak? Please come, take the microphone and give us your name and address.
Can I just bring forward a couple visuals as well?
Sure. Hey, don't feel bad. This is my first time too, so I'm serious.
Oh, okay. Welcome.
Thanks.
I guess I have to give my name or something, right?
Yes, name and address, please.
My name is Renee Proctor. I live at 10691 32nd Avenue, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. I reside in Countryside Estates. This is very uncomfortable for me to be here tonight. I believe the village has put me in a difficult position with my neighbors and friends. I'm concerned that tonight's hearing, the time that's allotted, may not be enough time to address the issues, that perhaps another meeting must be set for the community at large to participate in the ongoing water concerns in Pleasant Prairie and the impact that the rezoning and possible future building on these lots will have, because unfortunately the rezoning of these three lots is not happening in a vacuum. I want to apologize up front to the current owners of lots 15 and 17, of which we have now known for 16 years. I want to apologize to the builder who's listed on the public record as the owner of lot 16 by means of a trustee's deed, so I am sure you are well aware of this whole development process, more so than someone like me who has nothing to do with the real estate world. We have never met this gentleman, but to quote the village of Pleasant Prairie, he's a great guy. Most sincerely, I want to apologize to the potential new homeowner who has submitted plans to build a home on lot 17, with a lot of significant water drainage. A lot with up till this point tonight has a sizable portion dedicated as wetlands currently utilized by nature and the surrounding area for natural occurring stormwater drainage. This is also said to be true regarding Lot 16 to an even greater degree. And I also should include our lot, Lot 19, and backyard, as it is in, within the wetland and it serves as drainage for the surrounding area, a fact that I am not disputing. Unfortunately for Lot 15, you've attached yourself to tonight's meeting due to the small portion of wetland currently on your property, until the discussion and matter of tonight's hearing determines otherwise. I apologize because all of this was foreseeable. For the past 10 years, I have voiced to multiple village personnel that there is an ongoing water drainage concern, one that I believe is growing in problem, not diminishing. 10 years. The fact that we are that there are water concerns in the area and that wetlands are currently a part of these lots is nothing new to any of the current lot owners, nor is it news to the Village of Pleasant Prairie, nor is it news to the DNR, who I have also been in contact during this 10-year period. 10 years is a long time to try to fit in running your own life, careers, activities, and events, let alone trying to ask the village to do the right thing. I am not the village keeper, nor do I wish for the title. It is not my career or life's ambition to follow what they do. I believe it is their jobs as village employees, and I trust that they do their jobs and will do the right thing. I want everyone to know that I have patiently tried to have the water concerns and drainage issues in our area addressed, and to date there has not been a working solution, nor has anyone from the numerous departments gotten back to me. 10 years of trying to live life and then ask the village to do the right thing. Along the way, I have learned a few things. I learned that a subdivision in Pleasant Prairie is built almost exclusively under the direction of the village, and it would be difficult to move forward without the approval of village staff or its engineers. When Countryside Estates was developed, in the final subdivision approval memo, it was the assistant planner for the Village of Pleasant Prairie who wrote, and I summarize, "Stormwater detention or retention shall be located at the lowest area of the property and in those areas which now receive the natural drainage. Continuing on, one outlot will be needed for stormwater purposes south of these existing wetlands." Again, I summarize, but the village had knowledge that the wetlands in the addition to this detention pond are important for the drainage of the area. And I will argue that the need for those wetlands, in addition to the value it adds to these properties, has increased from a drainage standpoint, not decreased. It is also the village that told me when we moved in and I voiced a concern over water in the streets that the neighborhood was not yet completed and that this will take care of itself. In hindsight, those water concerns are quite minor compared to what we are looking at today. At the same time, I addressed the wetlands, and I asked what was allowable to do as a homeowner, and I was told to keep the areas cut back, for if the wetland vegetation grew up into our yard, that portions of our yard could then be claimed as wetland. To approve the rezoning of lots 15, 16, and 17 tonight means that these lots essentially can now be built upon. It also means, in order to build on, that a significant portion of the wetlands currently located on these lots, which I mentioned earlier, serve as necessary drainage for the area, has to be deemed non-wetlands, so that a home can be placed within the setback limitations allowable by the Village of Pleasant Prairie on these lots. So basically, lots 16 and 17 were unbuildable up until the outcome of tonight's hearing, assuming that the wetland boundaries can be moved. On the surface, this poses a couple quick concerns, both which will most likely have an adverse effect on our home. A home within the wetland, a home adjacent to the wetland, a home adjacent to potential building of a new home. A potential adverse effect to our property, the value of our home, and if our property is affected, any costs involved to take care of damages to our home. I really feel I need to include those around us as well, as they too may be adversely affected. I have to say rezoning lots 15, 16, and 17, and rezoning it, if you will, of the wetlands doesn't stop with these few properties. The problem is even greater, as I shared with the Village of Pleasant Prairie for the past 10 years. The drainage concerns involves the stormwater runoff from the subdivision to the north of us, which includes water that is coming in from outside of their subdivision, and then stormwater runoff coming from the subdivision to the south of us. How does that affect us? Well, when there is a significant rain, the extra flowage from both directions, the north subdivision and the south division, come to rest behind our home, in the wetlands, in our backyard. We are at capacity. We can no longer pump away any more water without it affecting our home. It is my belief that the wetlands to the north of us must be at capacity, as often it looks like ours are too. The ground can only hold so much water. I hate to tell you this. And I'm willing to bet that some soils don't actually hold water as well as others do, which is another issue for this area, the soil or soils in the area, and what can we really expect that nature and its ability to take care of all this drainage. The water backup and the draining does not only occur at certain times of the year, but rather year-round, which should also be noted, winter, spring, summer, or fall. We cannot govern Mother Nature or the ground beneath our feet to the extent that it will continue to take everything you are asking for it to do. Again, I say none of this is happening in a vacuum. It is all interconnected, and it needs to be addressed together. By removing a significant portion of the natural drainage wetlands on lots 15, 16, and 17, the water has to go somewhere. Compound that with building a home or two, and in this case, quite possibly three new homes, where does that water go after the home construction displacement takes place? Tell me what I'm not understanding. We remove a chunk of drainage land basically in our backyard. We build new homes next to us, displacing even more water. Development continues throughout the surrounding area. Where's all the water going? I can tell you where. 2 years ago, in the words of the village engineer himself, we stood together. The same engineer that through emails this past week I have learned worked closely with the new builder for the home to be placed on lot 17, putting together the final specifications in regards to the grading, the placement, the drainage. He told me as we stood in our backyard on the berm between lots 19 and 20 at the edge of the wetlands and at the edge of the detention basin that any development or any fill on those lots would then make our basement the lowest point in the neighborhood, basically rendering our basement as the neighborhood retention pond. He even said he looked at the elevation maps. He was there, once again, at the request of our neighborhood to address water drainage concerns. His findings were that grass clippings and yard waste were clogging up the drainage path. Although none of this debris was our neighbor's, he had the grass clippings and brush removed. Nothing has changed with the water drainage concerns. Hopefully you can see why I'm here voicing my opinion and objections to the rezoning of these lots, plus the removal of the much-needed wetlands for the potential construction of new homes. 10 years is a long time. I also learned that I am not the only one that raised the concern over water drainage in the area, but before the subdivision was finalized, Kenosha County, in writing, raised the same concerns with the development of this subdivision with the village of Pleasant Prairie. Kenosha County wanted written assurances that the drainage plans were sufficient. It was all done in writing, you know, because someone wanted to keep themselves covered. As I emailed the assistant village planner, who has also the title of assistant zoning administrator of Pleasant Prairie back in October of this year, copying in the realtor of the new potential homeowner, that water concerns and issues should all be addressed before an innocent family begins their process to build a new home. I even went so far to apologize for the harshness of my tone, as I felt it was unethical and deceitful to continue without addressing all these concerns. You must have a plan, is all I can say. And in that plan, it must say what the plan is. And in that plan, it must say who will remain, who will maintain it. And in that plan, it must say who will be responsible both short-term and long-term for the maintenance of such a plan. And in that plan, it must say who's responsible for any and all costs involved in the engineering, implementation, maintenance, and ongoing costs involved to carry out that plan. There must be a plan, is all I can say. After 10 years, if all these plans rely on the village of Pleasant Prairie, its staff, and engineers, I have serious concerns. And then, by the way, I'd like that plan to include an ironclad, written, and legally binding document that assures not only my home, but those homes that may be affected, that our properties will not be affected, whether it be by water damage, construction damage, or ongoing maintenance costs, or costs related to the lack of maintenance. For if I were a lawyer, I would put all of those things in a document. because we purchased our home with the covenant saying something to the effect of, lots 15, 16, 17, and 18, plus the outlot, shall be subject to a deed-restricted wetland. This restriction goes on to prohibit any buildings being placed in the marked areas. It also prohibits any filling, flooding, dumping, ditching, tilling, or excavation. In addition, under the terms and effects section, it states something to the effect that these restrictions run concurrent with the land and even placing a 40-year term as part of the covenants. The covenants may also be in question here, but the village already knows that. I again say to move forward on any wetland conversation this evening or the redelineation of the wetlands on lots 15, 16, and 17, of which I include the wetlands in our backyard, that to continue forward and render a delineation tonight is unethical and dishonest. I ask you what has changed, and I would like to argue with the DNR what has changed. If this was a vacuum and we were really here tonight to discuss the moving of the wetland boundaries, we would be discussing the wetland indicators, soil samples, the amount of samples, the depth of samples, the vegetation, or now lack of vegetation, now that it has been removed from Lot 16 3 months prior to the announcement of this evening's hearing, and nearly 4 months before the actual hearing took place. Conveniently, 25 feet of wetland vegetation was removed to expand the lot. I remind everyone, it does not remove the natural occurring stormwater from locating in these areas. The water in the wetland, which, by the way, a wetland does not need to be wet to be determined or deemed a wetland. We would be discussing those indicators that make up the definition of a wetland, such as what has been going on over time with land. I went back to 1963 using the Kenosha County aerial photos. It can easily be argued we are looking at Mother Nature in action here on these lots. I even found records back to the 1800s if we want to play a game. Again, I ask what has changed. A couple years ago, when the owners of the Lot 16 came to me offering to sell me the lot for $50,000, and to it, I would get the outlot, which I was told originally was ours, I went back and forth with the village for 2 days, running in and out of the office with multiple questions, measuring that lot lines and setbacks as best I could, searching for codes and information because they did not offer it up front. When at the end of 2 days of running in and out of their office was determined that the lot was unbuildable due to the wetlands, I asked, why didn't you just tell me at the start of all this? Their answer was plain and simple. Let the buyer beware. In fact, that they even told me that the footage on the street in front of this lot, Lot 16, is not even keeping with the village ordinances. Fast forward to this past spring, when the current owner on record of Lot 16 put up a sign as a builder, and I stop in the village to say, you cannot in good conscience let someone think they're about to build a beautiful home on an unbuildable lot. Not after what you told me just a couple years ago that it was unbuildable. You know what they asked me? They asked me who was the builder. I showed a photo from my phone that I had taken of the builder's sign. Their response was, quote, "Oh, we like that builder. He's a great guy," end quote. I would have liked to have been here tonight to just argue on behalf of the countless songbirds that have started showing up each spring and summer now that the wetland vegetation has grown in, or the pair of hawks that for several years have returned to the wetland area to nest, or any number of the plant and animal species that have continued to thrive in this wetland while it is being used as a natural occurring stormwater drainage for our area. I would have liked to have been here on behalf of all that, but that's not what honestly brought us all here tonight. I reiterate, the wetlands are currently serving as a significant portion of stormwater control in the area. As building and development continues throughout the area, we have steadily, in the 16 years that we have owned our home, seen the water situation grow a little bit worse each year. We are at maximum capacity of holding back this water. You are adversely affecting our home potentially. The owner of Lot 15 is a voting board member of our HOA. He is also an individual doing the back and forth communication with the village of all of this. I kind of believe there's a conflict of interest, as he is the owner of one of the lots under consideration tonight. He has a financial gain to be made. I believe I already have voiced my opinion regarding Lot 16, being that the village really likes him. He's a great guy, and the wetlands were already allowed to be cut back 25 feet on that lot or more before this meeting was even announced, and just after some new rules and regulations for the state of Wisconsin went into effect on July 1st of this year. As for Lot 17, the beginning of October, a full month before any hearing notice was ever sent, a realtor contacts our HOA through the owner of Lot 15, a voting board member, with plans for approval. This board member presses that our HOA approve this home against the objection of my husband, who is also one of the board members. My husband raised the questions of water concerns and potentially what implications this might not only have for our home, but for any potential new homeowner or for the entire association as well. He was not allowed to enter those objections into the approval of the initial plans. Three of the four board members approved the overall look and design of that home plan. The plans then move forward with the village engineer to set the grading, the drainage, the placement on the lot, and the various specifics that go along with final approval. Those plans were asked to be approved last week, again, before this hearing ever took place. At my husband's urging, the HOA agreed to wait until tomorrow evening to make that vote. Again, these plans were submitted before this meeting ever took place. Actions were taken by the village of Pleasant Prairie before this meeting ever took place. I ask again, why are we really here tonight? The key is these things are not occurring in a vacuum. 10 years has given me a lot of time to see that people are people and we all make mistakes. Hopefully we're trying to do the best that we can to do the right thing, not only for ourselves, but for everyone involved and for potential new homeowners so that they too can call Pleasant Prairie their home. Who stands to gain financially from the move to reclassify and push back the current wetland boundary? I'm not a biologist, I'm not a hydrologist, I'm not a scientist or an expert by any means, and I can currently only speak to the obvious. We have water drainage problems, and to remove a portion of the current drainage plan will only knowingly compound these issues and put our home and those around us in an adverse position. Thank you. I have pictures that show water that goes right up into that lot 17. I have pictures of our backyard, which is also the wetland, pictures of our detention pond, pictures of how the water doesn't go anywhere from behind the house, what it looks like at the subdivision south of us, what it looks like when our detention pond is filled and our backyard is also filled. What the backyard looks like from the view of the Kenosha County Bike Trail, which is overflowing with water on times when we have rain. I've also printed off every 5 years of the area, an overview aerial map of the area we're in question here. It's clear that there is water and growth that happens naturally in all of these lots. It hasn't changed as it went all the way back to 19. I happen to have a copy of what may be the final approval plat for our neighborhood, and in here it actually has some of those things. It shows the lots, it shows the deed restrictions, it shows the 40-year term for untouching it. I don't know what more else I can do. I tried to do it quietly, I tried to do it without making enemies with my neighbors, I tried to do it so it's not a public forum. You're putting us underwater. That's the bottom line. And you're also potentially, which makes me even more angry, putting at risk new homeowners who are going to build a home of their dreams and potentially put them underwater without even knowing it. That's my case. There's a case to be made.
Ma'am, I can understand that. I too have water issues in my subdivision, and my lot went from a drainage easement to wetlands to now a floodplain. And I really can't tell you how much the DNR sometimes creates problems. So I can sympathize with you. Mr. Castle?
Mr. Chairman, I would like the village staff to respond to this. because this is not our policy of letting water run from one area into another one. Gene, would you do it or would our engineer?
I can provide some input, I guess, on the stormwater of the area. So what I know is I think about 3 years ago I was called out there from both subdivisions, actually, for different reasons. There's this area is on the borderline of Foxmoor Estates and Countryside Estates. Foxmoor Estates has a pond right below Countryside Estates Pond there, and they both outlet to basically where the bike trail is, and there's a culvert under the bike trail. So when the subdivision was developed, both those developments go to retention basins. Those retention basins discharge towards the bike trail, and there's one culvert under the bike trail that takes it from the west to the east. When I was called out there from Foxmoor aspect, they had some problems with their pond, so I looked at that pond. Countryside Estates, there's, I think, a homeowner president called me out there plus a resident to look at the dry pond out there because the dry pond's not mowed. It was overgrowing with just natural vegetation. And I think at that point in time also then I believe the person who spoke tonight also said that there was some flooding back there by the bike trail area. When I looked at it, looking at both the plans and actually walking out there, there is one culvert under that bike trail. So as when that subdivision was platted, it has a wetland area that was platted around the lots there. It is expected that when drainage goes to that bike trail with that one culvert, whether that culvert's big enough or whether it's a 3-foot diameter culvert, so it's going to build up 3 feet before the maximum capacity of the culvert is. Based on those elevations, that wetland area around those areas looks like it would be inundated with water for a little bit until the whole thing drained out. Worst case scenario, in looking at it, I've never seen it flood. I haven't seen these pictures. But worst case scenario, when I look at like the lots being developed, is that, okay, you have a huge rain, whatever the case is, and it's going to overtop that bike trail. So when we look at the lots, the subject lots that are having their wetland delineation kind of changed there, when those lots get developed, they'll be high enough that even if you get a torrential rain, it does overtop that bike trail, that those lots are higher than the bike trail. But I didn't see anything when I was out there that caused me any like eye-raising, like something is abnormal. I do expect, drainage back in that bike trail area to kind of, I would say, inundate a little bit during that wetland area. It is a wetland, wetland there for a reason. And so I didn't see any, but again, I didn't look at the pictures. I haven't gone out there and seen it when it floods. I think I've both association presidents and a couple residents out there, if it does flood, give us a call and we can go out and at least look at it so we can determine whether it's the culvert, if it's a downstream obstruction that's blocking things up. I did go out there 3 years ago, and there was a lot of yard debris by the outlet, so the inlet, so the on the west side of the culvert there, a lot of yard waste was being built up by that outlet. It was hard to tell if it would get clogged. If that culvert gets clogged, it could back up. That yard waste was not removed. It's just basically deteriorated over the years through there. But I did not see anything that raised a great concern, but again, I didn't see it flood. Regarding the wetland itself, just so when it gets redelineated, it's an assured biologist that delineates that wetland. So they do look at the plants, they do look at the soils. They're an independent biologist. The biologist who delineated this one delineates several throughout the state. And the third thing I guess I'd just point out is those lots, I'd be careful to term that they've been unbuildable. They've always been buildable. Anybody could go out there and build a home on one of those lots. It's just where the wetland line is, whether you can you have to stay out of the wetlands. So, you know, wherever that wetland line is, you have to stay out of it. And I think it's just a wetland delineation to determine where that line is. And from that determination, it looks like it shrunk more rather than grew. They usually grow, but it shrunk in these lots. So that's where I think the wetland delineation amendment here tonight is being brought forward. But I'd be more than happy to go out there. I'd go more than happy to have a meeting with anybody who wants to talk about this drainage. But like I said, I didn't see anything when I was out there. And we were out there again in October, and we walked the bike trail area just because we heard that there was some grumbling regarding the drainage again back there, and we walked it. We couldn't see anything back there that would cause any flooding, like I said, other than what I would expect it to do just because of the culvert. And I don't mean the culvert's undersized. I just mean that if you have, like I said, if you're, the culvert is a 3-foot diameter culvert, that water's got to build up at 3 feet to the top of the culvert before the culvert's at capacity. You take the top of the culvert and you basically have a plane going across your topography, that's where you expect the water to see. So, again, I'd be more than happy to go back out there, look at it some more, or you know, these pictures might show something that I don't know, but that's about the input that I can provide.
Can I respond? I'm sorry, your name was?
My name's Matt.
Yeah, hi, Matt. We met in May of that year. 2016 is the year. We met in there, and I followed it up with an email to you. I also want to say I have called in when the water was flowing. I'm going all the way back to 2009 when I called the Department of Public Works after meeting with them twice, and they assured me someone would be sent out. And then we come forward 10 years, and it's continued non-cyclical that way. Or cyclical, I guess, is the right word. I would also argue that the wetlands have grown, not shrunk. The wetland delineation person did our lot as well as lot 17. She called me on the phone and said that she is a vegetative expert and she's going to defer to the DNR because they gave the opinion of it being a hydrology thing. That the DNR also felt that wetlands ebb and flow, and they grow and they shrink, and they grow and they shrink. I would argue that the course of the life of this area, as shown by not only the long-term images, but records back to the 1800s, show that this area has been wet, remains wet, and continues to grow as wet. And as the development in the area continues, so does the water continue to grow. It makes sense when you displace water, not whether it's one home or a building or a development or a subdivision, that water has to go somewhere. I am telling you, we are at capacity, and the village knows this and has been aware of it. And it's not fair. I am, again, asking for the village to do the right thing. I purposefully kept names for the last 10 years out of all my recording for this public hearing tonight. I do not wish to throw anyone under the bus. I have purposefully kept written documents between the county of Kenosha and Pleasant Prairie out of it. I have purposefully kept things out of this public hearing so that the village has the opportunity to do the right thing. I'm not an engineer, but I do know that the engineers have the final say on what goes on, and so does the village. And you're asking to put new homeowners, potentially, and current homeowners underwater. It's not right. You must have a plan. I'm going back to that argument. You must have a plan, and you must have a plan how it's going to be paid for and how it's going to be done, how it's going to be maintained. And who's going to pay for all that? And then don't all those people have the right to know that they're going to bear the brunt of some new drainage system? Don't they all have the right to speak up that it's going to affect all of their values and their homes? I think so. I am not opposed to new homeowners coming into the neighborhood. I am opposed to what's happening with the water drainage, and I really, honestly, I would like to keep the wetlands, but I'm not going to keep out neighbors because of the wetlands. We have a water problem, and if you take away the wetlands that are currently serving as a source of retaining that water and then flowing it out, you're taking away a chunk of the water that's not coming into my basement. And by your words, Matt, in 2016, my basement becomes the neighborhood retention pond. You stood on the berm and said that.
I don't remember saying that or seeing that your basement would have an issue. But like I said, if I haven't spoken to you since 2016, so if you have pictures or anything, I'd be more than happy to look at them. More than happy to take a look at your house and compare it to where it's expected to flood in the wetland.
And as I said, in 2016, you said you looked at the elevation maps and my home would become the neighborhood retention pond if anything was to change lots.
I don't recall that.
So. I'm sure you don't, and I apologize for that. But I do, and I have records, and I have notes. And I apologize again to my neighbors, who may never speak to me again, to those trying to sell their lots, to those coming in as new neighbors, I apologize deeply. I sincerely did not want to be here. I started all this nearly 10 years ago, quietly and patiently.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Kessel.
A question to Gene. Did we not have water problems with this area years ago? Pardon? Yes, I'm asking you. I thought we had problems with the county with their bike trail and that drainage ditch they had under it. Or is that not my memory?
I don't know.
What happened to our ordinance where you cannot run water off of one property into another one?
Well, a couple of different things. This was designed as a single subdivision. So any stormwater that comes to this subdivision needs to be handled by this subdivision or released at a rate no faster than it's coming to the site right now. So, I mean, I'm not aware of all these different things that have been said tonight, and I'm going to recommend that this be tabled so that we can get a better handle on this.
I agree.
But
I'm going to move the table so it can get resolved.
But
I don't care if you're on 15, 16, and 17. I'm going to move the table.
But let me just finish.
Let Jean answer the question, please.
So the bottom line is that we rely as a village on the Wisconsin DNR.
Correct.
Or assured biologists to determine and to provide to us exact science information as to where wetlands are in the property. Myself and my staff are not experts with respect to that. So if they give us a revised delineation report that shows wetlands have either increased in size or decreased in size, we have to rely on that.
Correct.
And then we rely on whatever the DNR has assured for a particular property. So I can't argue unless we challenge the delineations, and then we would have to go to Sewer PAC or to the Corps of Engineers as to why all these delineators in the DNR have not appropriately identified the soils, suitability, and the plant life, and any of the other indicators that show that these wetlands exist on the property. Do wetlands grow and shrink? Absolutely. All over the place they do. But we rely on experts to determine exactly where they were. Could they have shown us something else back in 1990 when this was platted? Absolutely. And it could be different today. The other things that could be going on are high groundwater and soil suitability with respect to those indicators. So there could be different things that are going on. When I look at this wetland map and then I look at what's on the ground based on an aerial photo, it looks like there has been some possible additional grading work that was done or filling work or lawn mowing work by all of the landowners in that area based on, you know, these maps. So it really needs to be looked at what it is today, and if there's potential problems, we should identify what those problems are. Were these lots identified to be buildable when this was platted? Absolutely they were. They were. All the lots were legal as platted, and some of these that are on the cul-de-sac, They can reduce their width at the setback as long as at the setback line, which is 30 feet, that they have the appropriate width for those for that district, which is R4. So all of these lots were legally platted, and they're all of legal size, and they all meet the zoning ordinance requirements. So that's not a question.
When was this platted?
Looks like it was about 1990. I'd have to go and find the recorded plat. We don't, I'm sorry, 1995. Back then, copies of the recorded plat did not come back to the village. They're down at the Register of Deeds office. So if we have to get it, the original recorded plat, we'll get a copy so that we've got that in our office.
So that's another question.
The other thing that is much more clear today, which wasn't in 94, 95, is that property owners are the ones that are liable, responsible, and have to take care of and manage the stormwater management facilities and wetlands that serve that purpose in their own subdivisions. It's not the village's responsibility. It's the homeowner's responsibility as part of an association, or in this case, if they place it as a specific lot owner's responsibility. So there's a lot of research that, I mean, to be honest, I didn't know that this was an issue until I talked to my staff right before the meeting. There's a lot of research that we can do on this. I need to talk to the village engineer. I'd have to talk to Public Works. But, again, the property owners that want to build on these lots, they followed the procedure in having the wetlands delineated and so on and so forth. Maybe one of the things that is quite vague on this old plat is whose responsibility it is to clean and maintain those wetlands so that they serve as stormwater management basins. Today, the DNR does not allow us to use wetlands as stormwater management basins. We have separate basins from the wetlands. So wetlands can be for temporary sedimentation or storage areas, but they really are not intended to be the basins that get dredged and they get cleaned out and then they get expanded if additional stormwater is needed. So, I mean, there are a number of things with respect to this that I don't have the answers to. Maybe the petitioners have some additional information or matter. Peggy can add to that. But, again, I personally was not aware of the ongoing water problem. That doesn't mean that that there isn't one, but I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah. I feel like there's too many questions right now. But go ahead, Mr. Kessel.
Well, I can't. Mr. Chairman, through the chair, I think it's incumbent upon the village to look into this issue to make sure that everything will be right for the people that are selling property or going to build out there.
I think the petitioners are here, and I think that they would like to speak as well.
And just for a point of clarification, it is a public hearing. I don't think the public hearing closed, so they should have the opportunity to speak.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Michelle Lattice Parks. I own lot 17 with my husband Jim of Countryside Estates. We bought this lot as a buildable lot next to our former home, which is also right next door to it, which we've already sold. During that time, yes, it is a responsibility of the estate, the Homeowners Association, to take care of this. I empathize with my former neighbors that there is water issues. Do they rise to the level of affecting my lot? No, they don't. As Matt has said, these lots are buildable higher up. I do believe that the drainage issue should be addressed. I'm not doubting that. I think there are culvert issues. I do agree with the vegetation being dumped in there. We have many neighbors dumping grass, all kinds of stuff in those areas. I do think it should be looked at. I think those issues, though, are separate and apart from what we did here, which was legally go about going through. I not only had an assured biologist come through, I took the most conservative path protecting my neighbors with an assured biologist who also then had the DNR come out a second time to make sure she was doing it all correctly. We followed every letter of the law in having this delineation done. And quite frankly, our delineation didn't really move all that much. It just shortened a bit. Our lot was always buildable, still is, regardless of where that is. And again, I think these are separate and apart. To table this, I think is the wrong thing to do. There's pending sales out there. I think there's interference with those sales that are going on. But I don't know why we should be looking at potentially devaluing our properties as well here without having any say whatsoever.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak?
The final delineation for the wetland was done in 1998 by SewerPAC.
I have been in discussion with Sewer PAC both by email and to my knowledge, they did not delineate it this time. It was all done. I had the same same wetland expert come out and do our lot that did Michelle's, lot 17. She's the one who called me and said after she met with the DNR, she would defer to the DNR because they were in, I don't know, I'm not putting words in her mouth, but hydrologist, her expertise is in vegetation. I paid a great deal of money for that delineation, as I'm sure Michelle and Jim did as well. I also said in my email, which I'm positive I copied Michelle in, and I have no means of hindering or holding up their sale of their home, but I also am not going to roll over after 10 years of addressing this issue and let our home go underwater. And I apologize for that. I also apologized up front. I apologized when Michelle approached me this past spring or this past year and said they were going to fill in their lot, to which I said to her, you can't fill it in. This isn't a surprise to anybody. This isn't a, you know, what if. This is ongoing. And again, it was not my intent to make this a big public problem. That wasn't my intent. That's where we are today.
Anybody else wishing to speak? Anybody else?
I'm Michelle's husband, and first of all, as far as I'm concerned, and I think speak for my wife, I'm not going to not talk to people over this, Renee. I understand you're trying to protect your house. I get that. I am an engineer, but I'm not a civil engineer or environmental engineer, so I don't know anything about wetlands, but that is exactly why we got the Assure biologist that we paid a lot of money for, to make sure that this was done right, even knowing that the lot, again, as my good wife has said, was buildable before we even got the Assure biologist. The person who was the buyer requested that be done. Makes sense. They wanted to know where that delineation was, and so we went through that process, and we've done everything I think that we legally have needed to do. And I'm a little disturbed that there's these things going on potentially for years that weren't addressed, but I guess I don't get it. I don't understand. If you got professionals here, there was one thing I would take issue on. The builder that is looking at our lot has never been in contact with your engineers, has never, and well, he might have been in contact, but they had no relationship before this even happened, and so the idea that there was something nefarious going on between the builder who wants to build on our lot and the village, I think, is a bit ridiculous.
Thank you. Please take the microphone and.
Before this hearing ever took place or was even announced, that plans were already in place for the development of those lots. That the wetland was already cut down before this wetland delineation took place, a portion of that wetland on lot 16. That before this meeting ever came to place tonight, our HOA was asked to approve a preliminary house plan, and then this last week, an email comes through that they were in works with the village engineer closely to get the final home plans approved. That all happened before this meeting ever took place. I'm not saying it's nefarious. I'm not saying it's underhanded. I'm not saying whatever. I'm saying these are the facts as I know them, and I don't think they're right. Not when I've spent, guess how many years? 10 years politely asking for this to be addressed. Please feel free if there's more to add to this equation.
I hate to keep coming up here, but I have to address that. So, again, we put our lot up for sale. A builder came forward.
You refer to the lot numbers.
So that's 17. So they were talking about 16. We're 17. We put our lot up for sale. We have a pending offer. They asked for the delineation to be done. I believe I could be corrected, but I believe that their house can be built regardless of the delineation. They submitted their house plans. There's nothing nefarious about that whatsoever. They submitted their house plans. They've been working with the village to see if those house plans can be approved. That's it. Our neighbors did contact the real estate agent for our buyer, sent them emails. I was not copied on those. I was forwarded them during that time and said, you know, they shouldn't even be building on their property. That did happen, which is why we're here tonight, because we have followed everything, again, to the letter of the law. So did our potential buyers of this house. We have a sale pending. That's it. Thank you.
So can I just add a few points of clarification, because I'm trying to catch up. Just for clarification of tonight's meeting, what's being reviewed tonight is the delineation of the wetlands.
Correct.
16 and 17, they have submitted plans. It will come to the Plan Commission at some point in time, grading, verifying, and making sure that there's no water that's being pushed onto other people's properties, things of that nature. That's not being brought forward tonight. So anything that's...
And that would only go to the staff.
Well, that will go to the staff, correct. Okay. But I guess the point that I just want to clarify is that there it was implied that we've just approved things and we're coming here asking you to rubber stamp something, and that is not correct and inappropriate. And I don't appreciate that being thrown at any of my staff. And so the point is that if the Plan Commission would like us to go back and verify with DNR and verify with this biologist to make sure that everything is appropriate and adequately addressed, we can do that. Having said that, I have confidence that due diligence was that's taken place. And our staff will be, as they review plans, they'll be making sure that water is not being pushed onto other properties, as we always do. So I feel bad that there's not a significant level of confidence in the staff. There was voices of skepticism in our efforts. That's disappointing to me. But at this point, I don't know if we're going to be able to fix that. So what's before the board this evening, if you want us to go back, we can. But what's before you is a delineation was done. DNR has responded. I will say that wetlands do change over time. They do ebb and flow. This time, it was to the benefit of the property owners. Sometimes that is not always the case. Majority of times, that is not always the case. But that's what's before the Plan Commission this evening.
Can I just ask two questions, real quick, two questions? There, in our agenda, there's a picture on Exhibit 2 that shows a detention pond, but that picture is an aerial shot. There's no water in it. Does water ever go into that detention pond, and what is the purpose of that? And then it looks like two culverts going through the bike trail. What happens with that water? I mean, is there any concern east of the bike trail as well?
So the detention facilities there, the Countryside's detention pond is a dry basin. So there is no, it's not a wet pond. I think when I visited out there, like I said, it was, no one mowed it or, you know, everything. It was just growing as natural vegetation, pretty tall. So drainage from that subdivision enters that pond, goes through that vegetation, and there's an outlet to that detention facility. And that outlet gets directed towards the bike trail. And then there's a pond just south of Countryside Estates. It's Foxmoor Estates Pond. That is also a dry basin. And that discharges towards the bike trail. There is one culvert under that bike trail. And so the wetland area that is being discussed here this evening is not in a detention basin. Mm-hmm. It's not a stormwater management basin or anything like that. It's just it's just kind of an extended low area from that bike trail that when water, you know, builds up along that bike trail area, it's going to enter that wetland. So that wetland, when you look at the grading plans through the subdivision, the grading was basically carved around that wetland to avoid it. And that wetland is really adjacent to the bike trail. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how that works. But there's only one culvert under that bike trail. And there's a storm sewer that from that cul-de-sac on the north that discharges towards that bike trail as well, goes down the bike trail area to that one culvert that crosses it. When we looked at that culvert, like I said, on the upstream side, on the Foxmoor and Countryside Estates, there was, at that time when I was out there in 2016, there was a lot of yard waste being thrown back there. When we went out there again this fall, that yard waste was kind of just naturally rotted. I mean, mm-hmm. you can still tell it was there. Then on the other side of the bike trail, there's a natural creek there. You know, whether, you know, you can only walk so far on a typical day, but, you know, whether there's a beaver dam somewhere downstream or something like that that backs water up, you know, that could potentially be a cause, too, at some point in time. So,
well, would the detention pond help her case? I mean, is that intended to relieve water from your property?
I'll go back to the detention fills when it rains, as well as the wetland. And if I go back to when the county Kenosha, before the development, questioned whether the drainage, with consideration of Foxmoor in their letter, if that drainage was sufficient for this new division, Countryside Estates, they had to go back to an engineer, and not the village engineer, but an engineer that helped, I guess, with the plans of the neighborhood. That engineer came back and said, per the village engineer's requirements, it's going to be sufficient. Again, after all of that, it was the village assistant planner who said that in addition to, as I said earlier, in addition to the wetlands, in addition to those low areas, this detention pond was needed. So the two things are needed to sufficiently drain our neighborhood. Both fill up. I'm not kidding you. They both fill up. And then they overflow when we end up with the extra overflow from the north subdivision and the subdivision from the south. I didn't catch the gentleman's name in the middle here. What's your name?
My name is Jason. Is your lot 18?
My lot is 19. I'm in front of the outlot. So I know there was another point I was going to make. I feel badly. But this isn't new news. The outlot fills up. The detention pond fills up. It's meant to slowly release the water. It's part of nature. That's what I can tell you.
Please take the microphone.
It was cut at one time. It hasn't been cut ever since. So it is full of vegetation, full. So I don't know what would happen if it was actually cleaned and cleared. So I think that is part of the hindrance, too.
The detention pond was cut for many years until the neighborhood decided to stop paying their association fees. When the association stopped paying their fees, a few of the neighbors, is when our neighborhood went through a change. We brought that before the village of Pleasant Prairie as well. When the neighbors that chose to hold back their association fees, the subdivision owner who was maintaining that and all of the pieces that needed to be maintained per all the plats, per all the rules, per all the regulations that they had to jump through for this subdivision to be made, it stopped being maintained, and then the cattails grew in. The cattails then, over time, I was told, were part of nature's vegetation and part of drainage. I questioned that. I was told that was wrong. I was wrong to question that. 2 years ago, when Matt came out He cited a whole different rule, one about noxious weeds. We could fine you guys for noxious weeds. You know, every turn is like a whole nother rule that they could cite us or fine us or give us another ruling of what they could do. But I agree. The vegetation is there. If that's a hindrance, great. It's not the hindrance. The water has been there. This is a 10-year ongoing problem. It gets a little bit worse every year. And that water problem didn't start when the cattails came. It was prior to that.
Yeah. Just one. We understand that, and we'd like to move forward on this.
Can I ask one more question? And what was your name again?
Renee.
Renee. So I'm looking at the plat that you provided us, or that not provided us, but that you presented, and just looking. To me, it almost looks like this area that's green in your yard is all wetland.
In fact, so, as 10 years has afforded me, I've learned a whole lot more that maybe the village shouldn't have allowed for my home to be built because in this plat, and really I'm going to share it now.
Well, so plat, you didn't build on the wetland.
I get this, but in this plat, which the village approved, or something very similar to it, our lot, which is lot 19, let me go around the corner here, the staking of sewer packs 1998 wetland encompasses over half of our lot. So it would have been pretty difficult to build our lot, but it was built. And that same sewer pack, 1998 delineation, has been in effect until just this year. So there are things that I say are questionable. I came for 10 years patiently and quietly. The village has chosen to let this be a public issue instead of let's just do the right thing. I want for the parks to be able to sell their lot. I want for a new homeowner to move into the neighborhood. I want for things to be done right. But if you agree and move forward with the wetlands delineation as the DNR is deeming it with the village, I mean, I can't help but I know you say I'm kind of leaning that way to assume things. How could all of that building or approval of home plans or the working in conjunction with a builder to make plans?
So my point, though, why I bring this up is, so you didn't build in the wetland, but what you're arguing tonight is that a delineation should not be changed according to what a biologist has deemed, but yet letting your property go back to a wetland state or a vegetative state to take on that water, it just, there appears to be a little bit of, I don't want to use a condescending term, but there's just a little bit of a disconnect in the sense that you're making the claim and asking your neighbors who, the biologist is saying that it's not wetland, and you're saying that they can't claim that property, but yet at the same time there's property in your own yard that technically is probably wetland, and yet you're not maintaining it like wetland. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Well, I follow what you're saying. What I'm telling you also is what you just pointed out as the land that looks green in our yard, which goes up to almost the back of our deck, would be wetland. And when you approved the home lot, we didn't build our
home. We didn't have setbacks of 25 feet right at that time.
Oh, we did, because when we moved in, they told us we had a 25 setback. How do you know this now?
Because right, I've been here for 30 years. But
great.
I don't know anything about your emails, but I'm just telling you what the rules were not always the same. At the initial point, we didn't have setbacks to wetlands. It wasn't until after we learned about the significance and the encroachment that residents were going into the wetlands that we started to look at it a lot more seriously, and the Plan Commission, the board, created a defined 25-foot setback.
So, okay, so then you're saying our house was built basically in a wetland because there was
no setback. What I'm saying is that you're not maintaining a 25-foot setback to what was identified as wetlands on that plat. I'd have to go pull out all your original documents to see, but just looked at that and just looking at what the area looks like today.
Your home would be what we'd call legal nonconforming.
Right.
Meaning that it was built – I'm presuming, I wasn't here at the time, but I'm presuming that your house was built outside of the wetlands, and that what should have, what policy came later on, is that there would be a 25-foot setback. If we had had that policy in place when your home was built, then it would have changed. It would have changed the dynamics of your house.
But how did Peggy would have to look it up. She can look it up. But how did all your backyard get graded in green? I mean, how did it become a manicured lawn if that was all wetland?
No, there have been no conversations prior to this.
Nope.
This is me looking at your plat that you presented tonight. This is the first time I've heard of this issue. So, again, I just, for the record, I want to be very, very clear. I want to be very, very clear that this was me observing it tonight and bringing up these points. Natural floodplain or natural wetland.
It's almost scary that something from 25, 30, 40 years ago is exactly where that water is going. It's still there. It's not going away. It's nature. You can't govern nature.
It's a natural wetland area.
Well, it is.
Because
and
of the soils.
In addition to that, the documents that I have say that the Kenosha County questioned it and that the village knew of it. And that in some of the realms of finalizing this subdivision, they knew that the wetlands needed to be used as a natural occurring drainage, and in addition, a detention pond had to be there. It's all in the 17,000 revisions of the subdivision being laid out. And I also understand that a developer just doesn't make these plans up themselves. I believe after reading through years of information that poor developer has to jump through all kinds of hoops, and even in one of the memos it said it couldn't be approved unless it was approved by the staff and the engineers of the village of Pleasant Prairie. They don't redesign it.
It's designed by the engineer of the subdivision, and correct. Then they will review it, but they don't redesign it.
Okay, and then I'll say to that, one of the letters that came back from an engineer on behalf of the developer was that developer's engineer, I believe it's the developer's engineers, don't quote me, I don't know this information verbatim, but one of these letters that I read said that engineer also put it back in writing to say that they were conforming or meeting the requirements of the village of Pleasant Prairie's engineers. That so now not only does Kenosha County have it in writing because they wanted to cover something clearly, an engineer working on behalf of the developer needed to make sure that it was in writing that a village engineer mandated this flowage or outflowage or the size of a culvert. And then that's a question, because now you got me going. I've asked
that's
where, Matt, I'm going to ask you, where does all the water flow from the countryside estates? Where is it designed to flow? Because I've gotten several answers to this over the years.
Well, the drainage that we're talking about goes to the culvert that crosses the bike trail. So you can see the creek right in that photograph on the lower right-hand corner. That's where it kind of goes to.
That's where the retention, the detention pond drains. Where does the culvert access for water go?
The, The cul-de-sac has a storm sewer that discharges towards the bike trail.
And where does that water go to?
It goes south to that creek, to that culvert.
Or does it go north? Is it designed to go north?
No, it goes south.
The Public Department of Works, Public Works Department, at one time we sat down and they explained to me how a detention pond works and how the flowage is designed in our neighborhood. One of those discussions was the water flows south to the creek that runs out. Another portion of the discussion is that runs north and runs out and everything goes east under the bike trail. So I guess, again, there's questions. Where's the water designed to flow? Who's maintaining it? One of the earlier things I even raised was, gosh, maybe we just need to dig the ditch along the back of the bike trail, to which it was we would have to discuss that with Kenosha County. I never got an answer for that. I don't know. I'm trying really hard.
And I can just add one more piece of information, is that when Renee's home was built, the application was submitted in May of 01. The project was put on hold at that time, so a new wetland delineation could be done by Sewer PAC, and it was approved by the village in July 9th of 01, when a new wetland delineation was done that pushed the wetland delineation markings and the wetland boundary, I should say, further to the east. So that's exactly.
Okay, so Sewer PAC this year did not have that on record to give me.
They,
so just so you know,
they provided it to us.
We had the 1998 one, so that's why I'm saying there's so many questions.
So it changed significantly.
So that it follows what's actually built.
Right.
But it also, to go to what you're saying, is what I believe after I've lived here 16 years. The wetland, as nature has provided, is literally.
Well, the soil,
groundwater, right?
The groundwater storage.
Mm-hmm. So when you're
that's
asking
different.
That, and you're asking to push away more water, our basement is the lowest point in the neighborhood.
Okay, we understand that you're what the issue is here.
Yeah. So
however, the village has gotten all of the information from the wetland staking and. Again, as I mentioned earlier, the DNR can create some problems for a lot of people. So this is something that I think needs to move forward with the stipulation that working with the village, and if the wetlands need to be redelineated, so be it. So
it looks like they
I'm sorry?
I said the wetlands all have been delineated on Renee's property and the parks property. Everyone's got the new delineations. The problem is that there either is very saturated soils, high groundwater, or some type of drainage problem that needs to get resolved as part of the building.
So they could, but they still could question the DNR, am I correct? We understand. And we got one more gentleman here.
I thought I should talk to you. Thanks for the opportunity, too.
Your name and address, please.
My name's Brian Johnson, 3132 106 Place, and I'm the owner of Lot 15. Okay. So with all due respect to the Proctors, I totally understand their concerns, and I do think they should be addressed. However, I think what Nathan said a few minutes ago is where we're really at. It's either do we trust the DNR, then we should move forward and approve. We don't trust the DNR, then it's a whole other issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jim, like you, I kind of have some water issues, and Matt has come out and looked at that. And, again, it's putting trust and faith in Matt that we had a really severe storm years ago, and the water did actually come up over the road in front of us. It ran down through the ditch down to the area behind us. Our sump pump runs frequently when we have heavy rains. But on the other side of it, that's just kind of what we know living where we live.
Right.
And then it gets to a certain point, and I don't hear our sump pump for months. So, you know, it is a very challenging situation. But, again, water has to go somewhere, and it seems like it is designed to go up and over the path if it's beyond capacity of the culvert at the time.
Okay. Moving forward, there are no other comments. I'm going to close the public hearing, questions and comments, and move it to the commissioners for their questions and comments.
Well, Mr. Chairman, unless the other commissioners have some comments, I'm ready to make a motion.
Well, I got a quick other. Is there any way to add some riprap to the east side of the bike path to kind of keep that more in open flow to make sure that that's not in any way impeded when we get these high, you know, volumes of rain?
On the east side, yeah, we can take a look at it. I think on the east side, we can take a look and make sure that that area is clean. And we walked a decent portion of it, but then again, you know, we didn't go walking the whole creek. But we can take a look at the east side if there is riprap or needs to be more riprap in there.
Gene, did you have a comment?
Yes, I just wanted to mention that this is a Plan Commission recommendation this evening. So if the Plan Commission chooses to conditionally approve subject to any conditions, we can either at this point do some further research before it goes to the Village Board or move it to the Village Board and conditionally approve it again. So again, it goes to the Plan Commission tonight just as a recommendation, but it's the board that has the final say or final approval on this consideration.
Understood. And I think that needs to be looked at, and I'm in agreement with that. And Mr. Kessel?
Well, there's been a lot of comments back and forth about this issue, and I've always had complete faith in the village staff. I think the petitioners have followed the letter of the law. They've done what they had to do to get their delineation done. And I think that I'm going to make a motion that the Plan Commission approve resolution number 1826 and send a favorable recommendation to the Village Board to approve the comprehensive plan amendments as presented. But I want to add a subject to it that the village will look into the cause of the water problem in this area and see if they can find a basis for resolving it.
As your statement, Gene.
And it may involve lots 15, 16, and 17 looking and participating with us in making sure that there's stormwater is being handled appropriately in this
right. Development. And I understand, and I hope the commission understands that a full discussion with all of the owners needs to...
Right, the Homeowners Association needs to be more involved
Correct.
In focusing on that area to make it move through.
Correct. All right, gentlemen, we have an approval. Got a second?
Second.
There's been an approval and a second. Gentlemen, what's your pleasure? Yay or nay?
Aye.
Aye.
It's been approved to move forward.
And then we
with the discussion.
With the discussion pending.
Okay. We have one more, don't we?
Okay. Item D. Yes, we do. We have item D, public hearing and consideration for the zoning map amendments. This is a public hearing. Anybody wishing to speak on it? Anybody wishing to speak? No one else? Good.
If we could just clarify.
Then I'll close the public hearing now.
Okay. Are you looking for the staff to work on this before it go to the Village Board? It'd be conditionally approved by the Plan Commission, and then the staff sit down with the affected property owners and work on resolving this before it goes to the Village Board?
I would say yes, because the village. Would we have time?
Would you have time to review that before it goes to the board on Monday?
Well, the problem is that there needs to be drainage plans that get put together for 15, 16, and 17. 15, they were working with the village engineer. 17. So 17 was working with the village engineer. 15 and 16, we have not put together, and I don't think the property owners or the builders have put together drainage plans yet.
Do you think that would be feasible, or I mean,
the next 2 days, no.
So staff recommendations are to approve?
We can't issue building permits until we have drainage plans for the affected lots. I don't know, without talking to Matt, whether or not one lot will affect the next. Typically, they do. And so I don't know if he's looked at all three of them together at this point or if he's just looked at the drainage plan for 17. I don't know.
Well,
lot 17 has started a grading plan, so they kind of were looking at how to grade the lot for it. So 17, it does affect the adjacent lot, but I did call a property owner to see what kind of house they were thinking of placing there. So I think 17, 16, and 15 can be kind of, normally they would submit individual grading plans because their houses are going to be developed at different times. So as far as the drainage, to me, I think the wetland issue is separate. We can address the drainage as a separate entity. I can certainly, work with our administrator and planning staff here to go over, the situation out there that I know of, and then, kind of get a little bit more information from anybody who's out there that's experienced flooding or seen it. And come up with, something different. But I don't think that the development of those lots is going to affect the outcome as far as any kind of solution or anything like that about cleaning the drainage way back there or anything else.
Okay. So
that was the intent of my motion, that we were to approve the resolution 18-26, which would include those three lots, because they have gone through all the steps of getting them done. But the added part was that the village should look into the issue of that water problem in that area.
But they can still do that with the village board approval, right?
Right.
So it's a matter of, again, there's a lot of things at play that still need to move forward, that we have the commitment of the village staff to look into it.
So in the interim, the village staff can meet with the owners real prior to the village meeting?
I think at this point, Matt and I will reach out to the HOA and we can look into the drainage issues. At this point, I think that it would be prudent for us to bring this forward, the recommendation forward to the village board at the next village board meeting, and we'll also, as staff, address kind of our next steps as far as discussing drainage with the HOA. I don't think that tying the wetland to the drainage issue is going to it's going to delay things and probably not resolve fairly quickly. So,
okay. Well, we had a motion and a second on it, so we should move forward to.
It's closed
it
right
was,
now.
We closed it.
Yeah.
I closed it. Thank you. Yep. So.
We're ready for a vote.
We're ready for a vote then?
Yep.
For that. And you made the motion.
Right.
Yeah, and I seconded.
All right, moving forward. We're all set.
Vote. I vote aye.
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 So moved. Next step. Adjournment.
I would move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So moved. We're adjourned.